You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome back, or welcome for the first time, to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, we have somebody really interesting. His name is Joseph Dolezal, and he is the founder of the Pyramid Center. His early life was spent in the Inland Empire. That's not in Greece. It's in Southern California. But he has lived in Florida and the Czech Republic. He went to USF for mathematics while also minoring in physics, but currently devotes his entirety to the spiritual pursuit. His interests consist of seeking the magical links between yogic scriptures, Masonic dogma, and traditional religious allegories. Currently living in Los Angeles, Joe plans on migrating to the mountains of the Pyramid Center to completely devote himself to the cause by the middle of 2012. He is 28 years young. If you'd like to follow along the show by opening another window, there's some wonderful pictures of the Pyramid Center and Joseph, and that is at www.thepyramidcenter.org. So let's welcome Joseph to the show now. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, Lance. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm very relaxed.
Oh, nice. Same here. Well, that's good to hear.
Good. I have to tell the listeners that I stumbled across your site quite accidentally, and I think it was through the offer that was being made to for the various radio or shows with the Masonic, I think he's a Mason, Manly P. Hall. And I stumbled across your site, and I thought, this is fascinating. So I don't know anything about you or the Pyramid Center or much of anything else, really. But let's start with you. How did you get involved with this Pyramid Center, and who are you, and what is it, and where is it, and all that stuff? So I'll turn that over to you.
Well, the Pyramid Center story is actually, it has quite a long evolution behind itself. It started, you know, the entire concept really started, I would say, about 15 to 20 years ago, where we acquired this property almost through, I don't really know how to put it, but it was really given to us as almost a dowry, you know, almost as kind of like a gift from a lady who was passing along. She was very old at the time. This was in the early 90s. And it was given as a type of gift because her husband wanted to actually build a retreat up there, a type of cabin retreat, but he had passed away up there. He had a heart attack. They're both very old at the time. And, you know, and ever since really the earliest times I could remember, I always just thought about building a pyramid for some strange reason. I mean, you know, it really came many, many years ago for the first time. And as I started getting, you know, into my late teens and then 20s and whatnot, that I started just, I started noticing a lot of, I guess, you know, the political, sociological mishaps of modern society. I always thought to myself, you know, people, I need a place where they can go, tune out and discover themselves, either through an intellectual pursuit or a spiritual pursuit, and really get in touch with their inner essence, you know, and really that's what the objective of a lot of religions are. But I think they have failed us utterly, you know, the religions as such, because it's become more of a dogmatic mechanic to control people than it has really to give them any kind of salvation or any kind of spiritual quenching. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a chance to check out the YouTube video I did. It's called the Pyramid Center, a promo video. And in that, I basically give kind of a full detailed description of where it's at, what I want, why I really did it, what I'm trying to achieve by doing it, what the objective of it, what the inspiration was. And it goes on to entail that what I really ultimately want to do up there is recreate a type of ancient Alexandria, which is where people could just come, they can relax, meditate, they can get in group meditations, if they want to be solo, if they want to come just for a couple hours, or if they want to stay for a couple days. And really, it's just supposed to be a type of a spiritual paradise, if you will, you know, and really what ancient Alexandria was. Nothing like it has existed since then, so it's kind of hard to fathom, really, you know. And so I encourage your listeners, if they want, they can go again on YouTube and just YouTube search the Pyramid Center promo video, and I go into a little bit more detail in there. And that's pretty much, that was the originations of it.
Very interesting. Now, has any ground been broken on the actual pyramid that you're building there, or is this all going to come about? The property is absolutely magnificent. You can tell that it has wonderful energy, that it must be a very high spiritual place. I mean, that just is obvious from the pictures on your website, the waterfalls, and the way the rocks are laid out. It's like a sculpture that invisible hands sculpted just for their beauty, and you can see shapes and forms and animals, especially animals. So it's quite a sacred spot. You are quite fortunate.
I am, you know, and again, you know, it's on 230 acres, 5,000 foot elevation, and it's basically out in the middle of the boonies, you know, because what it is that you have, you know, I don't know if maybe some of your listeners are familiar with the location, but I'll just briefly go over it anyways. In Southern California, there's a highway called the 330 Highway, which is specifically in the Inland Empire region. The Highway 330 leads up to Big Bear Running Springs, which are essentially mountain resorts. So when you're on your way up there, you break off about halfway from this Highway 330, which is, if I can remember off the top of my head, I'm going to say it's around a 10 or a top.
Okay.
The mountain. And so you break off that stretch, and there's a dirt road called the 1N09. It's a dirt road, which is essentially, at that point, it's kind of forestry property, and you have to go through that for about 14 miles. Back there, that's where the 200 acreages is back out after the 14 miles. So, I mean, it's gorgeous because there's no houses as far as the eye can see, or any really kind of land structures or man-made structures. So it's kind of like you time warp back to, you know, civilization in some respect.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really amazing. You know, what I've done up there so far, because I just remember you asked what has been essentially, you know, what kind of progress have we had. I myself have been funding this entirely out of pocket for the last 5 years, which is essentially kind of the demarcation of the beginning of its construction. Mm-hmm. And so far, I've made roads. You know, I had to fund my own equipment. Wow. I had a bulldozer and a backhoe I bought, and I made roads because there were no roads leading even back to our property. That's how desolate.
Wow.
rather undeveloped this region is. In the video, you can see this a little better. I actually made a prototype of a living bungalow up there, which is going to be an entirely self-sufficient luxury living bungalow. And I know that might sound a little zany and kind of funny to some of your listeners, but it's actually a very fantastic idea, because you can build these bungalows for about, you know, $10,000, which is extremely cheap, and you could have a really nice, very, very nice, luxurious setup inside. And for, you know, like an additional $5,000, you can build your own, and this is everything I'm talking out of experience that I built up there. You can have like a 1 kilowatt solar panel. And again, if viewers want to go to the video, I go through that entire thing on the video. And
it's a great video. It's called the Pyramid Center promo video. So that's something people are definitely going to want to check out, because this is just beautiful. Wow. Well, anyway, here we are. We're live on the radio, and I'm watching your YouTube video while we talk. So,
how do you like that, huh?
Yeah, really. Well, that's our modern age.
I know. It's kind of crazy even when you think about the communication. But
Here's George Nuri. Oh, he's talking. Oh, yeah. You got all kinds of cool stuff. This is terrific. This is a whole new world that you're opening up for all of us. And it's about time, isn't it?
It is. You know, it is. Yeah. It really is because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, and I work with a lot of people on the side. Of course, this is kind of like my my little project that I've been working on, and it's really the forefront thing that I've been trying to do. But I work with a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, and helping a lot of researchers up and down the board, kind of, you know, in whatever respect, if they need, you know, graphic design or websites, whatever. And, you know, consequently, I come across a lot of people when I go to lectures, and people really do want an answer. You know, they want to do something different. They want to experience something different. And they want kind of out of this, you know, living hellhole that's really starting to become the world with, you know, the economic crisis and the wars and whatnot, but they don't know where to turn to. And, you know, after just so much discussion and you know, talking to various people across the board and doing my own research, you know, I've been researching this. I'm comparatively young, but I've actually been researching this stuff since my teens. And, you know, the only salvation that really anybody could provide is the person doing their own spiritual meditation and coming to their own revelations, you know, educating themselves intellectually as well as spiritually. And until people do that or have a place to do that, then, you know, I don't see the situation at all in any respect getting better, because people have to realize that the power is in them. You know, it comes from within them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And so, and the reason is I want to facilitate more people to be able to, because it's, you know, and I meditate regularly. I actually do a lot of what are called breathing exercises. It's a type of yogic meditation. It's in, you know, one of the ladders of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And you know, it's very difficult to do it in urban environments because, you know, there's always, you know, a helicopter flying above you, or, you know, electricity, you know, especially people that are sensitive can feel electromagnetic waves going through the air, and it's hard to focus. And so, you know, it's really, you know, and from what I've gathered, it's almost non-existent that a place like this, you know, a haven exists where people can just go and enjoy themselves and really expand on their consciousness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I see that you have some people on your video that I track fairly regularly, and one of them is... now my mind is slipping away like the water in the waterfall. But Jordan Maxwell is one, and he's one of the people who I find has done a lot of research on the truth.
And, right.
And he and many others are coming out with some pretty powerful stuff. You know, David Icke and Michael Tesserian,
right,
and quite a few others. So. Do you collaborate with any of these people in behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Jordan Maxwell, I'm actually very, very close friends with him.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Do you hear me now?
Yes. You're going to have to keep whatever it is that you're doing in this moment going, because they've been fading in and out.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so with Jordan Maxwell, I actually work with him very intimately. I've been working with him for about 2.5 years. I helped him kind of get back on his feet. I don't know if you know, he was experiencing some problems a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And you know, by a kind of a series of fortunate circumstances, I had met with him because of the Pyramid Center, ironically, not because I was in any kind of dire need or help of anything.
Uh-huh.
And he started asking me if, you know, you know, if I could help him out with, like, you know, web designs and DVD productions and this and that. And I said, of course I could, you know, why not? And one thing led to another. And then I kind of just, you know, full-blown helped him with everything. You know, I'm currently revamping his website. I helped him, you know, with the web maintenance and DVD productions and the sales and just basically everything and anything business, you know, which is good because Jordan's a researcher. You know, he doesn't like dealing with the business aspect of it at all. He has zero interest in it. And so, you know, I help him do that so he can essentially, you know, do what he needs to do and educate the world that he feels the way he feels he needs to educate. So,
exactly. Yes,
yeah,
I have the greatest respect and admiration for his work. In fact, I think I wrote him a while back about being on the show, but I know that he is selective about that at this point.
No, I mean,
now you're going, I'm having trouble hearing you again.
Okay, what about now?
Okay, now's okay. Okay, go ahead.
No, what I was saying is, I mean, if you did write him, I would suggest writing him one more time because he gets a tremendous amount of emails.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the emails go to spam because I get that sometimes. And, you know, people say, why didn't he respond back to me? And then when I tell him about it, he has no idea the person even wrote him. So
well,
I would write him again.
I will do that. Now, tell me a little bit about your esoteric background, your research. It looks like you've had quite a comprehensive, probably many lifetimes of research with Manly P. Hall, for instance, and there are many esoteric teachers that you, some that you mentioned in your site and so on. Can you give us a little background of your training and how you arrived at this at your present spiritual place?
Yeah. Well, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I actually, my formal academia consists of mathematics, which was in USF, and I actually left that when I was around 22 years old, never to look back because, you know, I mean, you know, in short, the formal educational system is an absolute disaster.
So,
you know, so I took it upon my own initiative to get educated in what, you know, my heart truly desired and followed, which was the spiritual, occult, esoteric. I was really big for a very long time into, initially, this was many years ago, into kind of psychic powers. What were psychic powers? Where did they come from and how to utilize them? And that led me many years ago to Kundalini Yoga. And there was actually a organization in India by the name of Divine Life Society. And you could Google search it. It's like DLSHQ. And they have tremendous amounts of literature from Hindu yogis, a lot of them which are essentially unknown, about Kundalini Yoga, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, you know, meditation, all kinds of Eastern doctrines. And that led me to the Vedic Upanishadic scriptures, which essentially led me, ironically, after I read those, it led me back to Western Masonry, specifically, you know, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, which is really the cornerstone, at least available to the public, about anything and everything Masonic, and it, which is incidentally where Manly P. Hall got a tremendous amount of his literature from, Morals and Dogma. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but
I did not know. Now you're going in and out again. There might be a bad connection.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like I got a good connection over here. Should I try to call back?
No. If this continues, we'll stop for a moment, and then we'll get you on Skype. We'll just start.
Right, okay. Okay, we can do that. So, yeah, if that happens, just let me know, and we'll go on Skype. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Manly P. Hall is fascinating, a tremendous amount of literature. So as I'm going through Manly P. Hall, I just notice more and more.
Yeah, it's bad. I got his Skype number.
Yeah, I'm just going to pop into the audience here. I apologize. It's so obvious that...
Yeah, that's too bad.
I'm sorry. Your line is... it's different. So what we're going to do is we're going to allow for it by removing it. folks, we're going to go on break. We're going to be back. Don't go anywhere. We're coming at you.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information, removing fear through communication, engaging, powerful, unforgettable. My name is Spider Turner, and you can hear my music right here on the BBS.
Okay, so we had a little interruption there, but you're on Skype now, and so if you could pick up where you left off, we will continue.
So, right, I was essentially talking about the fact that a lot of Manly P. Hall's, you know, a lot of his stories originated from Morals and Dogma. And, of course, you know, I don't know, your viewers might know that Manly P. Hall himself was a 33rd degree Freemason towards the end of his life, as Albert Pike was. What led me into a lot of these studies, and, you know, like I mentioned before, what led me into a lot of these studies was just the mystique and intrigue of the magical force, which, you know, ironically, the highest echelons of Masonry mention it. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra is essentially flooded with it. And then you get into, like, Golden Dawn magic, which was the magical orders of the West. Even the Kabbalah mentions it in a lot of respects. So, you know, that's essentially, you know, I've been researching these things a lot, probably about the last 7 to 8 years, you know, and there's a tremendous amount of discoveries that I've made over the years, and I don't even know where to start with them. So I don't know if you want to pick a specific point.
It seems like it would be kind of pertinent at this point to talk about the various cycles and how they are coming to an end, and how the awakening process works, and how we activate the pineal gland in conjunction with the other glands, as the Egyptians and those who were involved with that particular site document, that we have 360 senses at least, not just five, and that by having a living system within, that we are self-contained consciousness units, and we can connect to everything or all that is.
Right, and exactly, and that's one of the things that you study when you come across a lot of these subjects is, you know, the chakras, like you mentioned, that we have several chakras. You know, some systems say we have 7, some 13, some say that there's about 300, just like you mentioned, around 360.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, the way it's interesting that you mentioned that, because actually about 4 days ago I went, by almost chance, I usually don't go to these things, but it was like a sound healing class where they use like bowls, certain like geometric shaped bowls, and when they resonated with them, then it was supposed to activate through resonation certain chakras in your body. You know, I always come with an open mind to all these things. I never, you know, especially if I don't know what it is or I haven't done any homework on it, then I just kind of come with it with a open mind and just see what happens. And interestingly enough, you know, the guy's giving us a speech as we get there and, you know, what to expect and this and that. And then he lets each of us select a bowl, because he had about 6 bowls that you can select from. Each of them were different shapes and sizes, but they were all crystal bowls. And so I chose this one bowl, and, you know, and he just says, choose whichever one attracts you the most. I choose this bowl and I start playing it. And by playing it, I mean you use this type of, like a rubber stopper almost. I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like a rubber stopper stick, and you revolve around the edge, the brim of the bowl, in a circular fashion, comparatively slow, and it starts resonating. And it can get extremely loud, which is ironic. It could actually, you know, pop your eardrums, or it can crack glass in the room, because it can get very, very
loud. Oh, yeah. I have a couple myself, not of the brass, not the the handmade brass, not the crystal, but I'm very familiar with them, and they're quite powerful.
Right. And what's interesting is I'm playing this crystal bowl for a while, and this is where it kind of ties into the story of what you were just asking before, is that I felt it in my throat. Vividly, I felt it in my throat. And as I'm playing this after about 5, 10, 15 minutes of that, then I I look down and I notice that particular bowl was designed to resonate with the throat chakra.
Wow.
And I thought that was interesting because I made that note actually about 5 to 10 minutes before I noticed that at the bottom of the bowl on the other side, it said G and it had the specific hertz frequency. And then it says this one is supposed to resonate and activate the throat chakra.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it just goes to show that that's just one of many methods, and it's just kind of like through synchronization, because even when we study, you know, like in my days of physics, not to get off topic, but when I used to study like cellular technology, any kind of communications actually, whether it's wireless, cellular, radio, then, you know, how do two devices communicate? The way they communicate is when they resonate in sync with each other. Otherwise, the devices even today cannot communicate with each other. So, you know, when you play with these bowls and you're resonating certain frequencies within a close capacity of them, then you're actually literally communicating with those chakras and thereby activating the chakras which are latently hidden in your body.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Now, we're finding out through the research of Dr. Matsuru Emoto and others who are using water.
Right.
We're finding out that it can be imprinted with various words and thoughts.
Right.
It's not it's not restricted to being in the same room. And I'm doing some research with somebody who's going to be doing some shows with me in the near future, Andrew Norton Weber, and I'm discovering that there's a whole a movement of using distilled water, which is a pure and not imprinted already, and it has no inorganic minerals in it, to cleanse the body from its negative polarities and actually remove toxins and fluoride from the pineal gland and the other glands. And I've been testing this out on myself for a few weeks and having some pretty astonishing results. So have you become familiar with the power of water and its role in our awakening and our chemistry?
Absolutely. I've actually I started studying Dr. Emoto's research, geez, about 4 or 5 years ago at very least, and there was a very good follow-up documentary on that by the, I think you could Google search this and watch it for free, and this would be, you know, in addition to Dr. Emoto's research. It's called Water, the Great Mystery, and it basically talks about, you know, what were the reasons a lot of religions used water, and, you know, why do they use water, why do they bless water, and then you know, how water is actually very abused in our modern way when it has to run through steel pipes and, you know, what kind of water we receive energetically coming into our homes.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, I mean, it's kind of like homeopathy, you know, I mean, that's what it really is, because homeopathy is nothing more than imbuing a certain pill or whatever it may be with a resonance frequency and then inducing it in the body for the cells to mimic that frequency. So, you know, it's absolutely valid. There's no question about it, you know, and I've seen all the pictures and documentations that Dr. Emoto has released to the public. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him about 2 years ago. Very
Right.
nice guy.
Yes, he seems that way.
Yeah, extremely nice guy. And I think it's a very valid form of science. I mean, it's something that's worked for a very long time. I think, you know, homeopathy is a very, very... I don't want to say advanced, but a very valid medicine. You know, in the Czech Republic, where my parents are from, and even all over the Europe, it's still practiced heavily to this day, because it's essentially harmless. You really can't overdose on it, and all it does is it just kind of communicates the correct frequencies or vibrations in your body for the cells to help or to facilitate replication more faster and more efficiently. So I think it's a very valid science whose time has come. And, you know, who knows? Hopefully it will replace conventional medicine today.
Yes, well, we certainly could use some new approaches. And I know many people, I'm involved with a healing group myself, and other people in that group use various techniques and technologies, and they're all different. And, we do remote healing as well. So
Right.
it's a fascinating field, and I do believe that we are going to be moving away from the old paradigms of control and drugs that are created to interfere with the body's natural wisdom.
Right.
And in addition to that, we know that those drugs have become not only addictive to many people, but they're overpriced, and they are being used by the pharmaceutical industry to basically rape and pillage society and keep us inundated and brain dead. I'm exaggerating a little bit. There are some good things that come out of the medical profession as well, and there are some wonderful doctors, so don't get me wrong.
Right. No, but it is, you know, but that's one of the unfortunate aspect of it is, you know, and medicine is one of those kind of double-edged swords, you know. It has a lot of good intentions and good applications, but it's just like, you know, there is no medication on the shelf today prescribed by medical doctors that actually cures cures illnesses. That's a mistake. It nullifies symptoms, you know, like when you take medicine, it doesn't actually cure you. When you take a headache, when you take a headache pill, it doesn't actually cure you. What it does is it numbs your brain or numbs the nerve. So you
Exactly.
And that's what all medication does across the board. It doesn't help you whatsoever. If anything, it just tries to ignore a problem. And so, you know, consequently, a lot of these treatments either get addictive because you need, you know, that painkiller or whatever it may be to function, or just never deals with the issue, and people consequently get a lot sicker after time. You know, one of the things, and there's actually, I mean, this is a little bit off topic, but I'll mention it for your viewers. There's a good, very, very good documentary called A World Without Cancer by Edward G. Griffin.
I love Edward G. Griffin. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, and he actually produced a documentary. Again, your viewers can just Google search it and watch the entire thing for free on Google, I'm sure.
What's the name of that again?
A World Without Cancer.
Okay. I'm writing that down.
And it's an excellent documentary. It was done, I believe, in the late 80s probably, and they talked about how, you know, it's been proven so many times, and now you're starting to hear it more, but Edward was talking about this back in the 80s, that there truly is a type of coup or a conspiracy for medical the medical establishments to intentionally suppress cures for cancer, because cancer is a big business. I mean, multi-billion dollar businesses a year, and they don't want to heal people because they can make more money off than dying. And Lance, I want you to, and you know, this is a fact, and my mom, she was an ex-nurse, she just told me today, did you know that I think there is no case today for anybody with any severe form of cancer has never been cured from chemotherapy? Did you know that?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
All it does is deter cancer from growing in your body, but it never actually remedies or reverses it. And I didn't know that until today. Actually, that's funny that we're talking about this, because I just mentioned that today. And you know, and then later on in the radio, I was just going through the dial, and I hear on one of these public talk radios a guy ranting about the fact that, you know, there really is, and there's been millions, literally millions of documents that was presented to Congress about how there's these 12 medical establishments that work in sync, in unison, to actually suppress any kind of cure for cancer to ever going to the public eye. And if anybody ever does create it, then what they do is, you know, they kill them and put a suicide note in their back pocket and make it look like a suicide, you know?
Well, exactly. And that's what they've been doing since the beginning of the patriarchy, about 5,000 some odd years ago. And I will take that a little bit further for the listeners, because I am a personal, I have personally experienced this myself, of having been given the HIV virus in 1983 by the World Health Organization. It was through a series of vaccinations, the hepatitis B study in San Francisco and New York. And since the statute of limitations has expired, there's nothing that one could do, and I wouldn't do anything anyway, because it's turned out to be one of the greatest gifts I have ever had in my life, to live with that Damocles sword hanging over my head for 29 years of having HIV, and the last 10 years or so being diagnosed with AIDS. Mm-hmm. So I have personally witnessed this, and I do believe that they manufactured that virus and circulated it within the society, starting with the lowest common denominator, the people who were considered expendable, which is basically everybody, but in particular the immoral people, you know, the homosexuals and the whores and the prostitutes and everybody else who is having venereal disease. So that's just how those people think, and we have to wake up and see this, because it's a fact. And there many of us are living proof, and it's time that we all stood up and shared our own stories, because that's what we came here to do.
You know, Lance, and I totally agree with you, you know, and that's kind of the frustration that I've had, you know, that's one of the frustrations that I've had just dealing with the situation, and by situation I mean the world situation today, because, you see so much, you know, just BS, so much corruption, so much, I guess immorality, to say the least, from, you know, the issuing from the government and all these alphabet agencies. And the
churches and the Vatican. And the royal family. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Right. And, I mean, it really never stops. So the question is, what can one do or a group of individuals do to eradicate themselves? You know, I mean, I can go on any of these subjects because I've been in the fortunate company of a lot of the masters that teach this stuff. Mm. But, you know, the only answer, you know, the only answer that I see is truly starting to create small communities of people.
Yes.
And eradicating the concept of a federal idea because
– yes.
People, as long as you're at the will of anybody that you can't personally talk to or personally touch, meaning that if you start hanging out in communities larger than several hundreds of people, then you just get this really despotic society like we have today. You know, I mean,
yes.
The government does everything wrong, and nobody can do a damn thing about it. And if you do, they'll just blast your head off, and everybody knows it's wrong. Nobody wants it. Nobody likes it.
Yeah.
But you know, what can you do at this point? You know, there's not really much you can do. I always tell people, don't fight fire with fire. You know, the government wants people to start attacking.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, they want to call out martial law. They want to do everything they can just to suppress people more. It's the best thing you can do for yourself is educate yourself, create communities, share ideas, share concepts, work on yourself spiritually through whatever medium you have to, whether it be through astrology, meditation, yoga, you know, esoteric Christianity.
Right.
Whatever it may be, you know, educate yourself intellectually, spiritually, and stay away from, very far away from, anything mainstream or government.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I would just tag on to that it's important to turn within and to start working on the inner realms, which entail awakening the pineal gland, which is an inner eye, and that inner eye actually faces the opposite direction of our two physical eyes, and it has rods and cones, and it is looking into this ball of light, which is a star. We are that star, and we
Absolutely.
Are all the stars. So by looking, when we focus outside of ourselves, we're trained to do that because it takes our focus and interest off of us and our own power, and we are sovereign beings. We are not victims that are controlled. We are actually gods, goddesses, and all that is in our own universe. So it's important to remember that if we're concerned about changing the system, the best way is to start within and changing ourselves. And
absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, then the projection which comes from us, which is everything we see, it's a synchronistic biofeedback loop of many loops, and it will begin to mirror back to us. The Essenes taught this, and it's just common sense when you start to awaken that the whole universe starts to mirror back the love, compassion, and the beauty, the awesome beauty that it is. And one connects to the divas and the fairies and the gods and goddesses, and they're all within us and without us at the same time. So there is perfect synchronicity and guidance when we start doing that, and that synchronicity is like landing lights on a plane. You know, as it comes down at night, you can see the landing lights. Well, that is similar to the lights within that will guide us to that furthest star that shines the brightest.
Absolutely, you know, and everything you said is absolutely right, you know, and that's one of the tragedies of even, you know, when we go back to how a lot of these higher echelons, they control the society. It's just through subtle inculcation is what I call it, through music, media, TV, you know, the news, whatever medium they can, because if they keep pumping negative images, even if it's not true, even if it's BS, then people are going to think negatively. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you saw that a child got its head blown off, that's the first impression that you get in your mind for that day. So you're going to naturally, unless you do something to correct it preventatively, you know, do some kind of a meditation or some kind of a cleansing process, that's the energy that you're going to exude for that day. Even unconsciously, you might not know it.
Correct. And then, of course, it's a natural progression.
Right.
To numb oneself because there's so much of an assault on the senses.
Right. Right.
Everywhere we go, we are being assaulted literally on every level, the subtle level. We can't even get to the subtle levels because we can't perceive at the subtle level when we're living in big cities like Los Angeles. I'm sorry. But, San Francisco, any big city.
Lance, that's exactly what I want to do. You know, just like you mentioned, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, getting to the subtle level, because as long as you're in the rat race, you're trying to pay bills, you're trying to pay your cell phone bill, you're trying to pay your gas bill.
Exactly.
There's really very little chance you could ever do that, because you always have to go back out into the world, always back out into the battlefield. So any kind of spiritual progress you might have made in, you know, the X amount of hours that you were in by yourself in the room is nullified the second you step outside the house. Because, you know, you're kind of back in the war zone again. And that is, you know, that's kind of the, you know, the central thesis of why I'm creating this place. It's really out in the middle of nowhere, which is great. You know, cell phone reception is almost nil. And, you know.
Yeah, we found out the hard way, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, now, exactly. Can people come up there and visit and participate in the center now? Are there any facilities where they can stay and bring their sleeping bags?
They could always bring their sleeping bags and tent. That's not an issue at all. I have one cabin up there, and I've brought, you know, several people actually over the last year up there, and we camp out. You know, we'll do a little bonfire.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's cool now. Even though I would say on a scale, you know, 1 to 100, it's probably about 40% complete right now.
Okay.
And one of the main things I'm actually looking for is a water well. You know, a long story short, it was in the process of drilling my own water well, and it went south. You know, unfortunately, I gave this guy probably about 75% of the money that I was supposed to. He messed up, and then he bailed out on me. That was about a year ago.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe somebody that's listening tonight will be able to help empower you in some way, perhaps financially, perhaps with actual physical labor, or perhaps with just support.
If there's anybody out there that can help out with drilling water wells, you know, I would absolutely love to talk to them, because that's one of my central cruxes right now that I'm having truly difficulty with. You know, setting up, you know, solar panel system, even doing organic vegetable gardens, the pyramid architecture, none of that is an issue to me, you know, and even dealing with the legalities of everything. But it's really, right now it's the water well, and it's kind of like I'm in a rock and a hard place, because I cannot move forward without water. You know, water is so important, you never realize it until you don't have it.
Well, that's funny that we were talking so much about water and distilled water and the rest of it, and here we are, get back on water again. Now, Do you have a way that people can reach you through your website, thepyramidcenter.org?
Yeah, or they can reach me directly at just Joe, J-O-E, Joe, at thepyramidcenter.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I invite everyone that's listening today and in the future, when this is archived and wherever it goes, to support Joe in his work, because this is really important and wonderful work, and it's an opportunity for many people to become involved. And I'm sure that you have ways that people can actually physically come in and do things on the property. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, anybody can help out. I've actually, you know, I've had a tremendous amount of people that were, you know, very kind, very giving to me, that they came up there and they helped me out. You know, people just helping me clean up, helping me clean shrubs, road maintenance. You know, sometimes we all just go out there to hang out. And, you know, like I said, we do a little bonfire and stay the night. If, you know, people want to come up and just help clean up, and I do that regularly about once a month, you know, they're more than welcome to. You know, email me, ask me any questions, I'm open. So you guys got my email, joe@thepyramidcenter.org.
Wonderful. You know, if I lived closer to Los Angeles, I'd be up there in a heartbeat. This is just the kind of opportunity that I would have given my, I would have given a lot to find when I was, 18 to 20 to 30 to 40, and even when I'm 61 today. So,
right.
I'm kind of creating my own little Garden of Eden up here in Northern California and Gold Country. I can't say enough wonderful things about what you're doing there and how important it is and how empowering it will be for others who are, you know, maybe they would like to detox from the city, or they'd just like to go up and experience the beauty of nature kind of in an Anastasia-like environment that I'm sure you've read the Anastasia Ringing Cedar series from Russia.
Right.
And there's so much stuff that we can learn about and know in community. You know, you just seem like such a wonderful person. I feel like I've known you all my life.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's one of the another things. Just you know, off topic, like you mentioned, community. You know, through a lot of the meditations and research that I've done, you know, I came to the conclusion that at the end of the day, no matter what people do, you know, when they try to make big money or they try to drive nice cars or nice clothes, you know, all they really are looking for is love. That's it, you know, at the end of the day. And they can't get it through whatever means because they have whatever experiences in their life, whatever inhibitions. And so they try to express that desire to want to be loved through either nice cars, nice houses, a big income, you know, a nice job or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, consequently, it's kind of, you know, the question always came to me, why even deal with those middlemen? You know, why not just get to the root of the problem, you know, and have small communities where everybody can kind of join each other, help each other out? You know, because at the end of the day, that's what everybody really wants anyways. They just want to be loved and accepted by everybody else, and everybody wants to work for everybody else. You know, the government mm-hmm. and all the media and the mediums that they present to people, it's just, you know, it's just garbage, it's interference, it's mm-hmm. noise, it's confusion, it's controlled mm-hmm. chaos. I mean, it's really everything negative, and it's hard to see that because we're all indoctrinated into it since birth. But if you meditate on it, that's really the ultimate, that's the arcane ultimate card right there. That's what it really comes down to. So, you know, a community concept is not, you know, it has a lot more ramifications than just, you know, running off into the mountain, but it really should be an example for a new modern society, because that's what people want anyways, you know. And you know, just on another side tangent, the reason I was saying is actually today I was mentoring. I mentor, you know, sometimes every now and then when people ask me, I mentor, you know, children or teenagers that are going through problems, you know, that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I do that because I think it's good, you know, and I really lament those, you know, the children when they're like that, because it's so unfortunate. And, you know, me doing all the research, I see what the problems are. I see where, you know, the parents are making mistakes in society and the music and the schools. And it's just terrible because the answer is so, it's simple, it's so easy, but nobody, because of their pride or ego, they don't want to see it, you know. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to admit any mistake. So, you know, they'll kill their own children in the name of being right, you know.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And so, you know, and just like today, you know, the kid was, they prescribe him whatever, you know, the medication is for, you know, the ADD or anti-deficit disorder. And I told him, you know, whatever you do, don't take that shit. Don't ever take any of that stuff.
Exactly.
And he said, why? And I said, just don't take it. If they ask you to take it, say that you're taking it and you're doing good. And every time you put it in your mouth, spit it out after you look at him and don't take that stuff. And he started kind of like laughing. And I'm like, I'm serious. Don't take that stuff. It's not good for you. You know, and if people, and I told him, you know, with the psychiatrists and all these psychoanalysts, anytime they ask you any questions, always say you're good, because it's always going to be recorded and they're always going to use it against you. These people are not your friends.
That's,
you know,
right. Talk
to, and I just told them the old-fashioned thing. I said, you know, if you're having trouble, go out with your friends. Go to a movie. You know, go hang out with a girl by yourself and have fun. It's like people have been doing for thousands of years. You know?
Right.
And I told him that. He was 15 years old. He's going on 16, you know, so just, you know, very average, middle-aged, you know, teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so it's very unfortunate because you see these things, you know, and when you see them, it's terrible, because you literally see how society and how the orthodoxies or the apparent orthodoxies of society murder their own children. And everybody, I think, intuitively knows it's wrong, but yeah. Nobody will do anything about it. It's just like everybody kind of stands back and says, oh, we tried, you know, it just so they don't offend the next person that doesn't give a shit about them anyways.
Yes, that's true.
It's a strange place, you know. It just really comes down to love at the end of the day. That's all anybody wants in a community concept, where we can nullify a lot of these intermediary BS concepts, you know, of status and money. Is really, I would say, a preliminary step towards something great.
Absolutely, and I do believe that many people who have climbed the financial ladder of success and power and the rest of it are finding that it really is a hollow ending, that it is a conveyor belt that goes nowhere in the end. And,
right.
You know, I did the S training many years ago in the 70s with Werner Erhard, who designed that training. And he, one of the things I remember about it was that we're stuck, you know, with living in the past in our interpretation of things. We want something more, better, or different, and that's the triad that we're stuck in.
Right.
So when we get, when we're unhappy, of it, and when we, you know, we want something better, or we will change something different. So those are the three things that we continually stumble upon.
Right.
And but eventually, and I think this is happening today all over the world because the energies are shifting and the frequencies are rising.
Right.
And I do believe that the old paradigms that have controlled this planet for so long are beginning to crumble and unravel at the subatomic quantum levels.
Right.
And you're a physicist. You've studied physics and mathematics, so you probably could explain this a lot better than I could. But I see it on a subtle level, that things
right.
are literally unraveling. And even simple demonstrations of that are things like plastics are beginning to dissolve because of the higher frequencies that are coming out of the sun.
Right.
And, you know, if that's the case, and I don't know if anybody's thinking about this, but all of the nuclear plants and all of those buildings that have rubber in between various devices, those are all melting. And
right.
so what happens when there's a massive leak and every one of those starts to fall apart? You're going to have disasters that will make all the ones we've had to date look like, you know, Tinker Toys. And
right.
there was a movie made by, I don't remember who, but it was called The Andromeda Strain. And it's basically, it's like a documentary. If anybody wants to see what's going on, watch The Andromeda Strain because it's a prophetic film. But do you see these shifts going on around you as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I see it all the time, and I see just the natural curiosity of the average person towards conscious evolution.
Yes. Yes,
I see
yes.
that springing up left and right, you know, all across
oh, yeah.
the board. And so there's definitely something going on a cosmic level where people are starting to wake up, and they want answers to what's going on and why things are the way they are, and especially to their own spiritual salvation. I mean, you know, I've seen it in the just in 5 years alone, I've seen a tremendous explosion, you know, and especially in the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and I think, and it's kind of ironic because then when you see how the government responds to that, you know, not to stray off topic, but how do they respond to that with cameras and surveillance? Because I think they know it at the higher echelons of government. They know it too.
Of
That's
course
why
they
they're
do.
getting yeah. so freaked out, and they're putting cameras, you know, on every street corner. They're putting cameras in cell phones so they could essentially monitor people even when they think they're not being monitored.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the internet, that's something which, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Kalium Act. It's it was an act passed in 1994 by Clinton that requires any communication device at all to have the ability for any alphabet agency to track the person in real time anywhere in the world.
That's well, it. You know, we're almost out of time, so I think it's I was a little naughty while you were talking. I found another one of those videos, and it says Experience Area 51 with Jacob Dolezal and Jordan Maxwell, part one of two. This looks like one of yours.
I filmed that, actually. Yeah,
you did?
That was my idea, and I filmed
oh
that.
Oh, my God. I have to watch this after we get through the show because it looks fascinating. I mean, like I said, I love Jordan Maxwell's work, and of course, just stumbling across you was just a, you know, like finding jewels and diamonds in the road. So I'm really thankful that we were able to connect tonight. And before we sign off, would you like to mention again where your site is and how people can contact you?
Absolutely. For the website, it's the, that's T-H-E, pyramid, P-Y-R-A-M-I-D, center, C-E-N-T-E-R.org. That's thepyramidcenter.org. And you could reach me directly on my email. I check it several times a day. It's Joe, J-O-E, at thepyramidcenter.org.
Wonderful. Well, Joe, I wish you the... I'm going to keep in touch with you because this is a very important project that you are entrusted with. And I, as I said, I encourage the listeners to look into your work and find out more and see how they can participate.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back again in the future, in the near future. And I thank you for being on the show and
thank you for having
Jordan
me.
For me. All right. Take care, Joseph. Good night, everybody.